This is David Bain. Today's date is November 28, 1973. The time is 1:45 p.m. I will be interviewing Mr. Ralph W. Strobel of Saginaw, Michigan. The topics we will discuss today, the history of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Saginaw. Mr. Strobel, how did Holy Cross first get organized and who established it?
I think I should first mention some of the early churches that were established here or were operating here. Father Novell, a Methodist, a Catholic priest from St. Ignace, Michigan, was here in the winter of 1675 and 76. He was undoubtedly the first white man to enter the Saginaw area. He ministered to his people for one winter and then returned to St. Ignace. After the Treaty of 1819, in the 1820s, the government stationed a minister here by the name of Hudson. But the Indians were not very happy about the whole situation, and they asked the government agent to send him away again because he interfered with their way of life. It would be better, they said, that they should send another blacksmith, which they would like better. The Presbyterians were the first to establish an organized church here in Saginaw. In 1837, they formed, of course, the first church that we had here in this area, the Christian church. The Holy Cross was second to be organized in what is now the city of Saginaw. It was organized in January of 1849. But prior to organization, the first Lutherans came here in 1837. Four persons came. Two were Stell Treaty brothers. One's name was Henry. The other two were a sister and brother, Catherine Durker and her brother. The Stell Treaties and the Durkers met aboard ship on their way from Germany to, on the voyage over from Germany to New York. And Catherine and Henry, friendship developed into a love affair. And after they landed in New York, the Stell Street brothers decided they were going to come to Michigan, and she informed her brother that she too wanted to go to Michigan, so the two Durkers also came to Saginaw. They arrived here in 1837. They worked 1 year or so for a Mr. and Mrs. Gardner D. Williams, who were prominent people here at the time, and in 1838 they married and bought a piece of land on the Brockway Road, which is still in the descendants' families. And they lived there and died there and raised their family, built a log house, and later on built the frame house, which is still there. The frame house was built in 1849. Early in 1949, six Lutherans met in the home of Gardner D. Williams and organized a congregation. Reverend Ferdinand Severs, pastor of the newly established St. Paul's Church in the southern part of Bay County, served as their leader in the absence of a resident pastor. On October 17, 1849, the congregation called a Reverend Otto Marclayer, who accepted the call as the first pastor of Holy Cross Church.
What were some of the building projects of Holy Cross? How were they financed? How were they made? And what were some of their locations?
The congregation did do quite a bit of building and owned a number of sites to build on. Some they used and some they did not. Mr. Gardner Williams gave the congregation two lots in the 700 block on South Harrison. Before the building got underway, there was dissension among the members. During 1850, there was an actual split of the congregation, and a number of the members left the congregation entirely. The remaining members were rather discouraged and decided that probably they should not build their church in the immediate populated center of the west side of Saginaw. Thus, in the fall of 1850. They bought a 10-acre site on what was referred to as the Mackinac Road. It was considered to be away from the business center and from the territory that they had been in, but it was only at the corner of Mackinac, Charles, Andrew area, so it was not very far out, but at that time it was considered to be very rural. But the their new pastor, Clater, and several other members and pastors of nearby churches advised against the location so far from the business territory. At that time it was only 1 mile away, but it seemed a long way off to most of the people. Another argument was that when German immigrants stepped onto the dock from the riverboat, you know, it would be very good to have a church right there. So in June of 1851, they bought the third site. That is the southeast corner of the corner of Court and Michigan Avenue, at the present time the site where the Ipple store is located. They soon entered into a contract with Stingline and Ganshaw contractors to construct a church building, which was to be 42 by 28 in size on that particular site. Due to financial condition of the members, all of whom were very poor, the church was to be constructed as economically as possible. The windows were placed high in the clerestory of the building. Part of the structure, there was no steeple nor belfry. For the sake of ventilation, in those days the salt blocks were built with a similar architecture. The result was that the Lutheran church was often referred to as the old Dutch salt block. A small bell was hung in a separate belfry set on the ground on the same lot. Thus, after almost 3 years of indecision, the little inconspicuous church was dedicated on November the 16th, 1851. This was the first building exclusively for use of religious purposes in Saginaw. The second such building, the fine Presbyterian church, was dedicated on December the 15th, 1852, or about 13 months later. Prior to the completion of the church, services were conducted in private homes of members, in the courthouse, and sometimes in the Adam Guter blacksmith shop. After the salt block was built, a small rough shanty was built on the same lot to be used as a school. In 1854, it cost the congregation $450 to clear the title on the lot, which of course had not been planned, but was an expense that came and had to be met. A parsonage was built in 1855. A school was built on Michigan Avenue, south of the church, and in 1865, the North End School was built on the Hermansall Road for the people living in the northern part of the city and township. The building is still in use as a blacksmith shop. In 1866, the present frontage on Court Street was acquired. All of the frontage on the 600 block, of course, was acquired. In 1867, the third school was built, which was in use until 1922, when it was replaced with a two-story brick building, only to be replaced by the present educational facility. In addition, three parsonages were acquired and used by the congregation.
I can see that Holy Cross had some difficulty getting started. Why didn't they build more sufficiently to their needs in the beginning?
Because of their economic condition, it was utterly impossible for them, or they felt that it was utterly impossible, to go further into debt than they did do. Of course, they were economical people, foresighted, and did not want to take the chance on becoming too far into debt, so that they did build rather small in hopes of getting along with it, in which they did, and they did not build until they had more money. I remember one lady telling that her father would bring home his paycheck on Saturday night, and he always held a dollar that was to go to the church for the next day, which of course was quite a sacrifice when you consider that that man was probably working his 6 days for $7 or $8 or $9, take $1 out of it for the church each time. They really sacrificed to build their buildings.
Mm-hmm. I see. What other properties did Holy Cross own?
Well, other than these building sites, they did have a Garden Lane, or do have a Garden Lane parsonage, which is still in use. And in 1863, Mr. Michael Hemmerder and Henry Stelzrede bought 2 acres of land from Anthony Swarthout to be used as a burial ground on the Brockway Road. They paid $125 for the plot. The following year, it was sold to Holy Cross Church for $115, for $10 less, and the Hemmerder and Steltree both retained one burial lot in the cemetery before they turned it over to the congregation. This was done because the congregation needed a cemetery. They were short on funds, and these two men advanced the cash to purchase the ground. A few years prior to that, the congregation had established a North End cemetery, now known as the Bethlehem Cemetery. That is still in use, and of course, at the present time, the Holy Cross ground has, additional land has been added to it. There are probably in the neighborhood of 1,600 burials on that particular site now. There is enough land left there to be used to probably continue for another 100 years, at least.
Who were the first pastors of Holy Cross? Who were all the pastors of Holy Cross?
Oh, all the pastors, that's a lot of them. Reverend Clater, of course, was the first resident called pastor of the congregation. Cephas had guided them along and, of course, helped established the church, but Clater came as the established and resident minister. He served until 1857, when he took a call to do Indian mission work in northern Minnesota. He was then followed by a Reverend Higley, who remained here only a little more than 2 years when he took a call to a congregation in Detroit. Higley's successor, pardon me, was Reverend Martin Gunther. He was a man of sincere and upright character, and all those with whom he came in contact felt his outstanding kindness. During his time in Saginaw, he and his wife suffered the loss of a child who is buried in Holy Cross Cemetery. In 1872, he took a charge in Chicago. Then Pastor Joseph Schmidt came. He remained for 12 years. During that time, the congregation engaged an assistant pastor, Reverend Rader. He served for a short time here, and Pastor Schmidt served more than 22 years, after which time he was called to the congregation, or to the Concordia College as director, a position which he held for 23 years when he retired. Pastor Herman Speckhard, an able pastor and preacher who was born in Seboine, Michigan, served Holy Cross from 1894 until the time of his death in 1910. When Reverend Lynn was called, Lewis Lynn, served ably for 9 years. During his time here, the congregation built a modern two-story brick school. During his farewell sermon, in 1926, he said, "Farewell, my friends. Remember, if you remain faithful to the Lord, you will fare well." Reverend Emil Voss was called here in 1927 and continued with Holy Cross until his death in the summer of 1968. During his long and faithful services of 41 years with Holy Cross, two assistant pastors, Reverend Donald Heitner and Reverend Wilbert Keeney, served here, followed by Reverend Kroc, the present minister, who was called here from Petoskey, Michigan, as associate pastor with Reverend Kroc Fuss.
What do you mean by associate pastor?
An assistant pastor is the man who would serve under the older minister. Associate placed them both on equal status, so that they both would make their decisions on their own. It worked out very well with these two men. Together they served Holy Cross well. During their time together here, the present church was completed and the educational facility was well underway at the time of Reverend Voss's death. Reverend Stephen Kluver served as assistant to Pastor Kroc for a short time, which position is presently filled by Reverend Herbert Denger. Holy Cross Church has had a long list of outstanding ministers during the past 125 years, something that they should be very thankful for to the Lord.
And they are celebrating their 125th anniversary this year.
It's 1974 will be the anniversary of 125 years. It's quite an establishment for a church.
Can you tell us a little bit about some of Holy Cross's daughter congregations which it established?
Yes, in 1884, Trinity Lutheran Church was organized on the east side of the river at the corner of 9th and Cherry Street, and is still a flourishing church. Bethlehem Lutheran Church, now the largest Lutheran church in the Saginaw area, was established in 1915, followed by Redeemer Church on Lamson Street and Peace on Adams Street, and later Good Shepherd of Brockway on Brockway Road was established. Those were the churches established immediately within the city or very close to the city of Saginaw during this past 125 years.
And these churches were started by members wishing to leave Holy Cross for reasons of convenience sake and form their own congregation?
More or less for convenience sake, geographically. Each congregation was established in a new territory, and of course those members who lived in that area joined that new congregation and immediately started mission work among other people in the area, and thus they increased the Lutheran population to quite an extent by so doing. If Holy Cross had stayed as one big church, there would not be anywhere near as many Lutheran people in the congregation as there are now, or in the size we have at the present time. You have to excuse my errors in speech, because I am not a professional speaker, as you will notice when you listen to this.
Now 125 years have gone by with Holy Cross, so what kind of mission work are they doing now at the present, do you know?
Still operating on the plan of gaining members in the immediate area. Mm-hmm. They do have systems where they go out and canvass the territory and call in people, and it happens quite regular that we establish or have new members joining the church just through that effort regularly.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Strobel. Really appreciate your time here.
Well, you're very welcome. I was glad to do something to record a little more history, which we need in this territory.
Thank you once again.